And welcome to another installment of Mercenary Musings Radio, an exclusive audio service presenting views and insight from the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. How have you been, Mickey? You're in the Big Apple right now.
I am, and staying busy and about ready to launch my European tour here.
Okay, good stuff. We'll touch on that a little bit later. Last time we spoke, though, Mickey, you'd mentioned that you wanted to take a swing at thorium, and what has really put thorium into the spotlight, so to speak, of late was the tsunami and nuclear crisis in Japan. This is a metal that can be used as fuel in nuclear reactors. What can you tell us?
Well, it's a very interesting metal, but at this stage, it has very little demand and negligible uses. It's quite abundant in the Earth's crust. Common rock-forming mineral is monazite. It's a very heavy element at number 90, just below uranium on the periodic table. Discovered in 1828, it is naturally radioactive, but it emits alpha particles, which are the least invasive of radiation particles. Has a half-life, very long half-life of 14 billion years. As I've said, it has very little uses at this particular stage in industry.
Okay, very few uses right now at this stage, but I've also read recently that because of the situation in Japan, China has since followed with an announcement that it's working on technology that could perhaps see thorium used in nuclear power in place of uranium. There are no thorium-based reactors anywhere in the world right now, but what do you think of this story out of China?
Well, it's a story, but it's not a news story. Oak Ridge National Labs experimented with what's called a molten salt reactor in the late 1960s. These molten salt reactors have been around for a while, but they've never really been developed. This one was worked on. It worked. It produced nuclear fuel, but funding was stopped in 1976. It's this so-called Generation 4 reactor. India has been experimenting with thorium reactors for quite a while. They expect to launch a prototype this year or at the latest next year. It's a fairly small reactor, 300 megawatts. But the technology is there. It's basically proven. And so thorium as a future nuclear fuel is very promising.
Okay, what would be the advantage of using thorium over uranium? Can you outline that for us? Is one safer than the other?
Most definitely. Thorium occurs almost exclusively as thorium-232. It is not a fissionable fuel, but if you bombard it with neutrons from, say, uranium-generated startup reactor, you can sustain a fissionable reaction by producing uranium-233. But it has to be bombarded constantly, so it's a so-called breeder fuel for a uranium-233 reactor. There are a number of countries that are currently experimenting with it. Most advanced would be India, because they have very large natural occurrences of thorium as the mineral monazite. To a lesser extent, China's doing this, Brazil, Russia, the U.S. It has lots of advantages as a nuclear fuel. It's cheaper, it's more abundant, it's clean, it's safe, there's no danger of nuclear meltdown. For the most part, it emits less potentially dangerous radionuclides. There's no plutonium produced, so you can't develop nuclear weapons from byproducts. Because it only occurs as one isotope, thorium-232, it doesn't require any enrichment. So there's lots of advantages and very few disadvantages, other than the fact that the world runs on uranium nuclear fuel, and the build out of thorium reactors will be at additional cost.
You've outlined a whole string of positive reasons for using thorium, Mickey. Why did the nuclear industry go the other way and choose uranium then? Was there fewer things known about thorium when nuclear reactors were first being developed?
No, really what happened was the U.S. military in the 1950s wanted to make atomic bombs, and a thorium-based reactor will not produce significant amounts of plutonium to make atomic bombs. So they made a decision that they wanted to produce plutonium through uranium reactors. So that's the main probably motivating factor at the time. In addition, the U.S. had significant reserves of uranium in the 50s, and other countries didn't. So we had a leg up in that regard. So there were a couple of reasons why uranium reactors were developed at the expense of thorium reactors.
Okay. Having said all that, do you think perhaps now we may be witnessing the start of a movement that could eventually see thorium overtake uranium as the fuel of choice?
Well, I don't think it's going to overtake uranium in anywhere in the near to even long-term future, but it could substantially increase the world's ability to produce nuclear fuel. Thorium reactors are very can be developed in very small for small applications. So there's movements afoot even in the United States to build modular thorium reactors that can be used in remote locations, where you essentially transport in the modular components for a small thorium reactor to supply, say, a rural community. It lasts for quite a long time, 20 to 25 years. Mm-hmm. Then you replace that modular reactor with the next generation reactor. So thorium reactors have lots of applications, particularly in small power plants that do not need a very high capital cost, like a uranium plant's going to cost you $10 billion to build. So I think that would be the future for thorium reactors.
Okay. In the meantime, any way to make money off this metal today? It doesn't sound like it. Is there anybody out there worth investing in that's kind of moving along this path?
Well, there's a couple of companies that have promoted the idea that they would be thorium-based companies. There's certainly abundant thorium resources, mainly from heavy mineral sands, byproduct of heavy mineral sands. In fact, most of the current world production is from a byproduct of rare earth element separation in the mineral monazite. So we have abundant resources in the world. We have especially abundant resources in countries such as India and Australia and even the United States, Brazil, Turkey. So the resources are there. The demand isn't right now, but there's lots of positives. Probably the momentum and inertia and the impetus of uranium based nuclear reactors is probably the biggest detriment to the establishment of a viable thorium reactor industry.
Okay, well, let's wrap it up on that note. Mickey, you teased us off the top. You're about to embark on a pretty serious road trip. You're heading overseas.
Well, I'm in New York. I'm in day five of the 34-day road trip, which will take me to six countries in Europe. And we will be reporting from there in a couple of weeks, most likely from Geneva, Switzerland, where I will be speaking at a small investor conference, speaking about the rare earth market. Mm-hmm. And I will end up in Vancouver in about 3.5 weeks, at which time we will do another show where we'll kind of wrap up what went on in Europe.
Okay. Sounds like fun, Mickey. Thanks very much. Travel safe, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks from atop a mountain in Switzerland.
I think it's going to be on a lakeshore in Switzerland.
Starts with the letter G.
It certainly does, and I look forward to speaking to you at that time, Rob.
Okay, thanks very much, Mickey. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks. That is Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.